Gracious God, take our minds and think through them. Take our hands and work through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Please be seated. Last night, as I was getting ready to gather with about 15 other people at the home of Linda and Bill Ellis so that we could watch The Call to Courage, it's a Brené Brown documentary talking about the power of vulnerability and how it is that we can be brave in our lives and live authentically. And as I was getting ready, the news out of El Paso, of course, came across the news. And I thought to myself, okay. And I went and had a really good time with a group of people, and we had good conversation and lots of things swirling in my head, and came home and thought, is this the night that I need to go to bed and wake up early and rewrite my sermon? And then I got up at 5, and I heard the news about Dayton. And I thought, you know what? I'm not rewriting the sermon, because frankly, I could rewrite my sermon every single week, because that's where we are. And I think that what the gospel has to say to us this week actually speaks to the root of the problems that we are facing. And so I came in instead, and I prayed, and I lit 29 candles for the people that have been shot just in those two mass shootings and killed in the last 24 hours. And I ask us all to really hold this nation in prayer. And even though it doesn't seem connected, I'm going to talk about abundance today. It's a word, abundance, that gets tossed around a lot. It's supposed to be the antidote to scarcity. Scarcity, of course, is rooted in fear. And I think that because the word abundance gets tossed around so much, it's easy to stop thinking about what it really means. So when I say abundance to you, what comes to mind? I'm doing it again, not
rhetorical. To my mind, enough is the next word that comes.
Enough. I love that.
Joy.
Joy.
Lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff. Yeah. Anybody else?
Overflowing.
Overflowing. Who said that? Good job. Did you read my sermon already?
An absence of fear.
An absence of fear. When you read the definition of abundance in the dictionary, it has three nuances to the definition, as often happens with words. The first definition is an extremely plentiful or oversufficient quantity or supply. Lots of stuff, right? An abundance of grain is actually what it says in there. The second definition is overflowing fullness, an abundance of heart. And the third definition is affluence and wealth, the enjoyment of abundance. And so as we think about today's gospel reading, and indeed what abundance means for us as followers of Christ, which part of that definition should be our guide? Stuff, overflowing abundance of the heart, or the enjoyment of wealth. So in our gospel, a man comes to Jesus, and he asks him to arbitrate the division of his family's wealth, his inheritance. And Jesus offered him this warning: take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. He then told a parable about a rich man whose land produced abundantly. And when there was this abundant harvest that year, this man's impulse was to tear down his old barns to build up new big ones so that he could store his wealth. And God called him a fool. And so I think this gospel reading pretty much rules out for us both the extremely plentiful quantity of stuff piece of the definition and the affluence and wealth parts of the definition, and that leaves us with the second part, that abundance for Christians is the overflowing fullness, the abundance of heart. And this is reflected in John's gospel when he said, I came that they may have life and that they may have it abundantly. So what does an abundant life look like? I came across this quote in a clergy group that anchors what I think it means to live an abundant life. Our abundance lies not in things, but in a life big enough to be shared. This is the trap that the rich man in the parable fell into, measuring his abundance in things, grain and in his barns, and not in how he could share his life with others. Two things stand out that point to this. The first is that nowhere in this man's deliberation about what to do with his banner harvest did he include anyone else, only himself. Now, he doesn't seem like a bad man. He's not an evil person in this story. He's just one who benefited from some good luck, the right weather, good workers in his field. And yet, other people never enter into his decision. 11 times he uses the first person, I and my, and never our. As if he was solely responsible for his bounty. And this is the very definition of greed. When we focus on ourselves and things to the exclusion of others in our lives. The second part of this passage that I think is really important is that in it we find the only time in a parable that the voice of God actually speaks. God called the rich man a fool and warned him that death could come this night. So what good would your big barns be then? To whom would all of your stuff go? The last part of that is not clear in this story, as again, this man has no reference to family, to friends, to community. His greed has isolated him and skewed his perspective so that he thinks only of himself. And that's what God called him to task for, because abundance of heart and life are centered on relationships, not on things that we can hold with our hands. And so abundance of the heart is found when we focus on enough instead of more. Abundance of heart is found when we focus on simplicity, on distilling our lives so that we are able to actually be more with less. Our abundance lies not in things, but in a life big enough to be shared. This is what the rich landowner failed to realize. It's not that he should have given everything away and kept nothing for himself. We find that in the Acts of the Apostles, but not here with Jesus yet. But that the maintenance to what he had became an end in and of itself. He was more worried about holding on than even about the stuff. And that precluded him from looking up and out and beyond himself to see the world and the needs around him. As the saying goes, when you have more than you need, build a bigger table, not a higher fence. Because abundance is about sharing, not because you have to or even because you think you should, but because you can. Because you realize that as smart as you are, as hard as you've worked, you haven't gotten there by yourself. And so it is your responsibility to continue to pay it forward to others. We have been gifted by God with life abundant. This is a promise from Jesus. And what we have, whether material goods or our gifts and our talents, our joy, the love we share, whether we have a good listening ear, whether we have a good word to share with others, These are all meant to be, not for us to hold on to and store up, but for us to share freely through overflowing hearts. The grace we have been given, the gifts we have been given, they are sufficient. And sufficient does not mean simply enough to survive, but truly enough. Enough to be filled and realize that we have been filled and still more left over to share at the table of life. This is what Jesus is calling us into in this parable, to turn not inward in greed and selfishness and fear, but to follow the path that the gospel teaches us that leads to true joy. When we think of others and the common good first before ourselves. How many of you learned that little prayer as children, that the meaning of joy was Jesus, others, and then yourself? Did anybody learn that? Was that a Midwestern thing? Maybe that was a Midwestern thing. But joy stands for Jesus first, then others, and then yourself. It's a little cliched, perhaps trite, but it's not a bad measuring stick. And it points us toward abundant life, remembering that our abundance is not in things, but in a life big enough to be shared through our overflowing hearts. And so my prayer for us today is that this refrain, that abundance lies not in things, but in how we share our lives with one another, will shape our believing. And our believing will shape then how we actually live our lives, and that we live them abundantly in a world that needs hearts overflowing with love and compassion and mercy and indeed joy. Amen.